Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And in this show, we get the truth and the facts and nothing but the truth and facts. I want to tell you a little bit. Before I go into the parameters of most of these shows and my background, I'll tell you a little about what this topic is going to be tonight. It's going to be why I personally am against abortion. I'm going to handle this issue neutrally from both sides and try to explain why some people oppose it and others are for it and the reasons and what is the right approach. I think it's a moral issue, but many people see it as a women's rights issue, a political issue. I disagree, but that's okay. What I disagree with doesn't make it true. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about the before I go into the actual topic on the show, which is abortion, I'm going to go a little bit about what I feel the basic parameters of this show. This show has a literary emphasis. I'm very concerned with great books and great reading, whether War and Peace, whether Milton's Paradise Lost, whether G.K. Chesterton, whoever they are, whatever they are, I'm interested in the great books of Western civilization. And that is what this show partially concerns itself with. Second, this is a Christian show. It doesn't mean I exclude other religious beliefs. I welcome them. I know Jesus died for them and loved for them, and he died for all nations and peoples. And therefore, I welcome all faiths, all ideas, all opinions. As a Christian, that is my position. Jesus wants all men and women, as he said in Timothy, the Epistle to Timothy, he wills that all men and women be saved, all, without question, whether Hindu, whether Muslim, whether Shinto, whether Buddhist, whether communist, whether atheist. He wants them all with him in the joy of heaven. Next, I wish to say this show has a political slant. I personally am conservative. That is, I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but that doesn't mean that I have discrimination toward them. I welcome a woman with an abortion into the precincts of heaven. I know God, Jesus died for them and loves them. By the same token, I want every gay person to be with Jesus in heaven. He welcomes them, he wants them, and that is it. Now, before I go into this, I'm going to go into my background a little bit. This is a politically incorrect show. That is to say, we don't go for political correctness, media highs, media lawyers, falsehoods, the big lie. We don't go any of that political rhetoric. We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with truth and facts and getting at the truth and facts. Second, this is a Christian show, and as I say, I'm a Christian, but I welcome all faiths, all men, all races, all creeds, all philosophies, whether communist, whether socialist, whether monarchist, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Muslim. They are all welcome because I know Jesus died for them and loved for them, and has love for them. This is a Christian show officially that welcomes all races, creeds, and thoughts, and ideas, and opinions. Next, I wish to indicate to you that the show has a conservative political slant. That is to say, I oppose abortion and I oppose gay marriage. That doesn't mean I have hatred or discrimination toward these groups. I know Jesus died for them. I know he loves for them. And I know he wills that all men and women be with him in the joy of heaven without question, everyone. And he wants these people too. Although I disagree with them on their stance, nevertheless, I acknowledge the love of Christ for all men and women, that he wants them with him in the joy of heaven with the angels and archangels. That is, of course, my position. However, I have to say that as a Christian, I may, in fact, oppose abortion and oppose gay marriage and realize that these people have the gates of heaven to open them. But more important, I follow the words of Jesus and his concern for the poor and underclass people of the world. These people are very important to me. They're very important to Christ. It was said of him, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? He chose as his disciples tradesmen, fishermen, simple, uneducated, unknowing people. These were the people he chose to be his companions. It was said that sinners followed him, meaning these type of people, the lost in the world, followed Christ. And we said of Christ, who is this man that eats with publicans and sinners? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? They couldn't believe that a man could be associated, an educated, intelligent person like Jesus could associate with these dregs, but he did. And he died on the cross next to two criminals, the death of a criminal. That is his standards. Those are his values. That is what I believe in. That's what he believes in. Next, I want to say that I used to run a podcast radio show that had over 4,300 visitors, and I presently run a blog talk radio show, which has many, many visitors all over the world visiting, all over. Muslim countries particularly, I know that Saudi Arabia was one of the visiting countries. I'm very happy that my Muslim brothers and sisters visit this Christian show, and I have a Muslim sister in Iran, a philosophy student, has very much loved my Christian books. And so I have great admiration for her thinking. She's obviously a very intelligent person, but she's looking at other points of view and not limiting herself to herself and her group. She's branching out and trying to find out what's going on with other people. So she's intelligent, okay, and smart. So as I think most Muslims are, given the opportunity, they will look into Christianity, maybe. Maybe even go to a church or read the Bible. Could be. Given the opportunity, if people are given the opportunity to learn, they will grab it. If they are deprived of the opportunity to learn, they will be decimated and destroyed, essentially. Or not grow, better way to put it. So I run these two radio shows, and they're Christian shows, and many non-Christians visit and listen to them. I've also written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and a number of Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. I've also written a book on the parables, and I recommend reading the parables, ladies and gentlemen. The parables are the words and mind of Christ. They are very deep and very telling. And I advise you, if you have a family, get a Bible, read with your child the 41 parables in the Gospels. They will be raised up immeasurably in thinking, because Jesus' thinking is the thinking and mind of God, and we cannot comprehend its greatness until we read it and find out what he says. I've also recently written a book on the interpretation of the Psalms, all 150 Psalms. The Psalms are very important to me as literary treasures of the Hebrew culture. They are in Hebrew. I read them in seminary, some of them in Hebrew. They are great lyric poetry. They're also great spiritual treasures, and they point us to the mind and thinking of God and Christ. They're great spiritual treasures. The Psalms are so great that I challenge you, which you will tire of more, an English translation of the Psalms or an English translation of any other book. You will never, never tire of the Psalms, I don't think, because of their great literary greatness, because of their intellectual perceptiveness. They're very great in their thinking, and I say to you, my dear parents and friends, have your kids read the Psalms. Don't have them stop reading the Psalms. Have them read the parables. Don't stop them from reading the parables. They will be raised up with these books immeasurably. Their minds will be raised, which is what we want when we read the right books. We want books that will raise someone, not pull them down to zero. We don't want that. Do you want that for your children? I don't want it for kids. I want a society of books where books will raise up and raise and make great the potential of every child. And I read a great book by Mortimer Adler, How to Read a Book, in which he says that images like television, computers, and TV and movies are drugs. You learn nothing. We are passive receptacles when we look at these things. You also said we want to read books that will stretch and grow our minds greatly. That's what kind of books we want our children to read. The books that will enable them to grow, growth is what we want in our children's mind. That's what we want in the adult's mind. Growth, getting going forward. Not and if without great books, without learning, and without books, our society goes down to darkness and ignorance. If you want a society with darkness and ignorance, that's your choice. But be aware there will be a terrible price in creating a society of ignorance and darkness. It will be very, very bad because it's bad right now. Next, I've written five number of Christian books. As I said, the book on the Psalms, and I'm also writing four books of blogs, philosophical, religious, and blogs on current events. Four blog books I'll be writing and producing. I'm also have written a book, the chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've also written a chapter on evidence, res gestae, in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've also written a section of New York Encyclopedia, which is a book on criminal demands and notices, New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia. I've also read Roberto's three very significant law review articles. I'm writing a book on the Book of Job very soon. I'm working on it. The Book of Job is a great, great piece of work. And unless you read these books, such as Psalms or the Parables or the Book of Job, you will miss out. And more important, if you have a family and that child is not exposed to these writings, they will suffer. They will suffer greatly in their minds and in their thinking. They will never rise up to the level that is potentially possible for them without these books. I also, as I say, I've written three law review articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. It's also been bought by many universities throughout the world. I've written a chapter on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, which is also a worldwide sales, and it's also been bought by the State Department. And I also have been written an article on Academicus the educational system in the United States, critiquing it. I think it's bad. I think it could use improvement. And I have good news for you, ladies and gentlemen, about one of these articles. It is being included in a new book, the article on sexual orientation discrimination, and it will have worldwide distribution. So that's the value that the world attaches to my written work that you want to know about. If you don't want to know about it, that's fine. But be aware, if you don't know about things, by remaining in ignorance, you will gain nothing for yourself and certainly nothing for your kids. Now I want to talk about abortion. It's a very controversial subject, and there are various views of it. Let's take a look at the inception of the problem of understanding why some people oppose it and some people do. There are a group of people that oppose it, many, many religious people, Christians, others, who believe that this is a killing of a human being and that we shouldn't allow it. It's the same as murder. It's obvious that, now the issue is that little piece of protoplasm a person? That's one of the issues. Are you actually killing a person? Or are you just killing a piece of jelly that hasn't become a person yet, hasn't been born? But of course abortion is now performed very close to the birth of the child. But the issue is that, is it a person? And I believe it is, whether you want to say that it isn't or isn't. If you take away that being from the womb and the mother, you are killing a person or depriving them of life. As a Christian, I have a great concern for an unborn child because I believe Jesus loves and died for all men and women, including the unborn, the about to be born, the born, and the dying, and the immediately dying. He has concern and great concern for all. And therefore, that's why I oppose abortion, because I know Jesus places great value on every human being that has ever lived. And a child which is taken from the womb and destroyed and thrown into a garbage can in a plastic bag, it is not something I can agree with or like. But there are people that have no problem with it. And they will say, well, the mother has a right to her body, and it's a women's rights issue, and women should have a right to do what they want in this respect. And that's an argument. It's a valid argument. But I don't think doing what you want is a particularly good reason for killing somebody. Or at least the mother should be advised, if she has an abortion, of the wrongness, the moral wrongness of the action. The issue for me is that person is a human being, and Jesus died for them, and that's it, really. And the value that Christ placed on a human being is so immeasurable that he died on the cross for every generation of beings, born or unborn, or about to die from beginning to end in the world. So let's understand what's going on here. And I will definitely be on this in a minute. Another factor which I oppose abortion is that the victims of abortion are often blacks and Latinos. They're often the poorer classes of society. So I'm very, very concerned about taking the lives of black kids and Latino kids because of their poverty and taking their lives from their community, from those people that have them and won't possibly have difficulty supporting them. I think it's wrong. I don't think that abortion should be focused on the poorer classes of society. I think they should be focused on keeping people alive and not destroying them. So that's about what I have to say about abortion. Now, for the right to so-called reproductive freedom now establishes the law has become the coded calling card of the modern woman. The feminist says, are women to be enslaved to the accidents of biology? With this right to so-called reproductive freedom, if it not came the right to sexual freedom, the double standard is gone, and free, unfettered sexuality is here, and we no longer fear the burden of pain of childhood and childbirth. So the right of a woman to so-called reproductive freedom is now established as the law of the land, has become the calling card of the modern woman. No longer, the feminist says, are women to be enslaved to biology and the mastery of men. With this right of so-called reproductive freedom, if it had not come before that, came the right to sexual freedom. The double standard is gone, and free sex is here. And now, since women no longer fear childbirth and children, they don't have to worry. However, I feel that I do not wholeheartedly agree with this insight to reproductive freedom, or even that it's a good thing. And this essay, what I'm going to do is go into that issue, that true freedom lies not in doing what one pleases, but in a life of service to others. Now, what I seek to suggest here is the right to choose, or the unfettered right to abortion, it raises moral questions in my mind and heart and philosophical question. First, simply put, abortion at any age or stage, whether at the inception of pregnancy or in the third trimester, deprives a human being of their lives, whether defined as a life and as potential or about to be. They are at least not having given their full life. So that's the issue. if we ourselves never came into being, then we must say there is no loss. If I didn't come into being, if your mother didn't come into being, if your children didn't come into being, there'd be no loss under this reasoning. If this states the truth, you must complete that we ourselves have no value. So abortion, opposing abortion is concerned with the value we place on men and women and children. Now I'm going to go into this again tomorrow night more exactly, but the right to abortion is based on some kind of freedom or doing what you want. If we allow the unborn to die, why not get rid of the old and handicapped? The right of a woman or a man to free sex is irrelevant. Reproductive and sexual freedom are guises for devaluation of the person. I will go into this again tomorrow night, once again, but I have to say that the issue for me is doing what you want and getting what you want a good thing? I don't think so. And I'm going to go tomorrow into the issue of why I oppose abortion. I'll go into it more exactly and more succinctly and with more exactness tomorrow night. Tonight, I say I've given my reasons. I think it's killing. I think it makes saying that a person is nothing. It is saying that putting them into a garbage can is permissible. It is saying that a person has no value. And it is saying that we should allow people to do what they want because they feel like it or they have a right to do it. I don't think anybody has a right to kill anybody, and that right is not real, and it is not right. And I think that killing someone, whether in the moment of their birth or before that or in the first week they're in the womb or in the last week, second of their life, that person has equal value in the eyes of God and Christ, equal infinite value, and I cannot countenance putting some human being, taking them out of the womb, putting them in a plastic bag, and putting them into a garbage can. I don't agree with it. It distresses me, and I think our society should oppose it and not allow it, or at least advise the woman who is doing this of the moral consequences of the action and what she should do morally. It's a moral question, not a rights question. It's not a matter of rights. It's not a matter of anybody's rights. It's a matter of the morality of killing someone of any age or stage of life or at the end of their lives, whether they are about to die. Their life has equal value for God and Christ. That's the last I say about this, and I will talk more about my opposition to abortion tomorrow night. Good night.